Blog Talk Radio.
On a specified
1,000.
No plane.
What?
Lieutenant.
No.
Draw by post. On October.
That's right. You don't have to turn the dial anymore. You just reached it. Yes, you did it. Taino Radio from TainoRadio.com. Public service from Arayeke Yukayeke. And this is DJ Sana Cody.
Put the needle on the record.
That's right, I feel that groove, man. We're here, another show, the Indigenous Caribbean Study Hour, and guess what, she's back in action. That's right, she's our hostess of this beautiful show, Indigenous Caribbean Study Hour, aka Taino Study Hour, and yes, the show is back. And our hostess, that's right, she has plenty of brotherly and sisterly love always from her roots. That's right, the roots of Cody. We have her. Natalie Hubert Rodriguez, our resident Taino Radio anthropologist. What's up? How you doing?
Hello, hello. It's so good to be back and hear that theme song again.
That's right. It's always good to...
And again.
Yo, how you feeling, man?
Yo, okay. I probably still sound a little, a little croaky.
Right.
You know, kind of like a cookie or something. My voice keeps sometimes ending in like a squeak or like a, you know. Yeah, exactly. But that's
it.
Okay. That's okay. If all the things I could sound like, cookie is the best one, right? So every now and then,
right,
if my voice squeaks off or does that little, like, yeah, high pitch. Kind of like that, yeah.
Well, it can be worse. Like, for example. That's my good old, oh my God, wait, don't be careful, I'm sorry.
Oh God, look what you did to me now.
Yo, drink some water, man. That's not cool.
Yeah, I got it right here, man.
Oh my God. Well, you know what? Take a little breather. I want to put Ika Mateo's song Anakauna. It's a good way to start the show, right? Anakauna, which contemporary Dominican Taina Behike, music singer.
Yeah.
How about that one? Contemporary.
Let's
hear her.
My girl.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, there you go. So go for it.
Yeah.
Ika Mateo.
We're tight.
There you go.
Corresponden la noche, colocarte.
Straight up from Dominican Republic, Quisqueya La Bella, in her attempt to keep the tradition alive in a contemporary way. What you think about the song, Ana Kauna?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I think Irka, I mean, I've talked to her before, and she's just great. She's one of these really kind of progressive contemporary Taínos who does such a great job of blending the indigenous traditions with a lot of more modern traditions, you know, in a beautiful way. You know, when we think of music from the Dominican Republic, a lot of people think of like merengue, bachata, which are great. I mean, I love them. But people often forget how much comes out of the indigenous traditions, right? And I think Irka has such a great way of kind of bringing that forward in her music traditions a little more, making it a bit more prominent with the more traditional Taíno instrumentation and even lyrics, and mixing it so beautifully with those more familiar, more contemporary styles, you know, and even the content of her songs and the subject of her songs, like Ana Kona. I mean, we all know who she is, right? She's like an OG for Taíno women. She's very kind of revolutionary in that sense, because there weren't a whole lot of people doing that, at least not a couple of years ago. You know, she was one of the first, and she's been around for a while. And I love her work, and she's such a great person too to talk to and work with, you know. And she's also very spiritually connected. From what I know, she holds a lot of spiritual ceremonies throughout the weeks and months, both virtually and in person, where she lives in California. So I definitely consider her like a leader that a lot of people should look to when it comes to modern Taíno representation. Maintaining that old world kind of authenticity, while also understanding that you can adapt and admix with modern elements, you know.
Definitely, that's a good thing. That's really good. Excellent.
Yeah,
I agree. I've been to many of her concerts live.
Well, yeah,
here in New York City. We spoke a lot. She taught me one of the songs. I recorded her the song of Hatway, the Hatway song.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she taught me that. I haven't sang that. Huh?
Yeah. Cubans know that song, the Hato Hato. I mean, I think the last version I heard was from my abuela. It was like a really old operatic record version. You know what I mean?
Oh, where? Damn. Well, that's good.
Yeah, like one of those really, yeah, like she had it on an old, you know what I mean? Those old, you know, not the 45s, even bigger ones, like turntable kind of style record that she used to have back in her house. And there was I think it was the version by Rita Montaner. I think that was it.
Mm.
It was like that really old, like very operatic style, like, ah,
oh, oh man.
Yeah, yeah. It was popular back in the day, you know.
Hey, got the job done, right?
Yeah, yeah. We all know it. I mean, I grew up hearing that song.
Right. Well, let's try to keep the momentum going about contemporary Taino representations in society now.
Yes, right.
So,
and I think
you
should tell us then. You tell me about Taino Sagrado.
Whoa, Taino Sagrado. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Well, it's funny because, you know, wow. Thank you for asking, but Taino Sagrado, you know, he's a professional wrestler,
right.
A.K.A. Sanakori, but...
of Sanakori's alter egos.
Yeah, man. But I tell you, it all happened maybe 4 years ago. I was at maybe 5 years ago. It was a Puerto Rican parade in the Bronx, and I was asked to do like a blessing and to bring some natives to the, you know, Tainos and Native Americans to the parade.
Sure.
They were honoring the indigenous, and some Lenapes came, some Tainos came. So we did a beautiful ceremony, and one of the people that I invited were Tainos from the wrestling world, Legendary Action Wrestling, led by Frankie Flo, who's Boricua, you know, and he recognizes his indigeneity. So he brought some wrestlers, you know. It was a good night, a good day. And Frankie comes up to me and says, you know, I would love to have you, you know, with the company representing Taino culture, right? And I looked at him and I was like, you're kidding me. You know, how can I do that? I'm not trained or anything. He says, well, you start as a manager, you know, and I started as a manager. And he made a wrestler called Super Taino. His name was Super Taino. Yeah, and he wore a mask, and I was the manager, and I wore my regalia, and he won the world title. The Super Taino won the world title that night. It was a very, very powerful moment for me as be part of the wrestling business. But before that, I was doing, actually, he says, can you bless the ring before the shows, you know? So that's what I started to do. And the first time I did it, you heard like a, what do you call that? Like there was like a hush.
When you blow in the, oh, okay.
Yeah, there was a hush in the crowd because they were like, what the hell is he up to? Because I had the I had the drum, I had a rattle, I had some sage, I believe. So I'm saging the ring and not saying a word. And people are like,
tobacco,
I heard one person,
maybe.
Huh?
Tobacco, maybe.
Yeah, it was a Puerto Rican crowd mostly. And then all of a sudden I hear someone yell, brujeria! Like in a very, very nasty, like, brujeria!
Yeah!
You know?
So
I assume the guy was Christian, you know? So all of a sudden, I hear another person say, cállate, like, shut up, you know? Cállate,
yeah, good.
Es un taíno. They're like, es un taíno.
There we go.
You know?
Right.
So then when she said that, I just got out of my shyness and I just started like yeah, you know, and then and then people were like, oh damn, you know, they got into it, you know. So during that match, during that show, what happened was I was introducing Super Taino, right?
Right.
And then one of the villains, the heels, comes to the ring. And he tries to stop me, and he starts, you know, like, who do you think you are, just showing up here, and what are you, a witch doctor,
And this is all in Spanish, I'm assuming, or
right?
Is it
well,
English?
And it's in English though. But so
oh, okay.
the wrestler didn't speak Spanish, but he's on the mic yelling at me like, "What is this? This is savagery, you know. This is the Prince Akanak, that's his name," and he was like, "This is savagery, you know." And then he goes, "We all know, right?" And he looks at me and he looks at the crowd that Puerto Ricans are not Indians. They're just greasy Puerto Rican, whatever. So the minute he said that,
no, right, he didn't.
The crowd goes nuts. The crowd goes nuts. And this is the same crowd that said, "Blue idea," you know what I mean? So
Yeah. But now they're all on your side.
Right. So what happened was he grabs me by the throat and he's ready to punch me, right? So at this point, the people are screaming. There's an older woman. I think she was in her 90s. She has her cane ready to throw down, you know.
It was very surreal. Gonna come to the rescue.
It was very surreal. Like, it was reality, you know, at that moment. And then what happened was I grabbed the mic and I said, "Listen, I'm not here to fight you. I'm not a fighter. I'm a medicine man, you know. But I know someone that can come and fight you. And his name is Super Taino." And that's when Super Taino came out. The place went nuts, you know. And, of course, he won the match. And so I told Frankie Flo, "Listen, Frankie, I want to wrestle. I want to train because I heard what the people were doing, you know. I heard that pop, you know. And it's, you know, for the character, what I was representing.
Sure.
Not per se me, but the character, like, the culture.
Right. Yeah.
So I trained like for a good 5-6 months, and then I was able to have my first wrestling match in Washington Heights, Inwood, and it was very surreal, man. Because I was Taino. Originally I was wearing a mask, and then Frankie's like, no, don't wear a mask. I want people to see you in makeup, like you know, the face paint,
yeah,
body
with
paint,
with the paint, yeah."
Right, he said, "That's more authentic, indigenous, you know what I said?" All right,
absolutely.
I'll do that. Yeah, I do that. It kind of broke my heart because I wanted a mask, you know, so like the Mexican mask.
Yeah.
So then what happened was, I got a good response from the people. Taino, you know, Taino Sagrado, Taino. But, so we won that match. I was on a 3-man tag. And then I kept wrestling as the character Taino Sagrado. No one really knew me, but check this out. Want to hear a good story? I'm already a rookie. I'm already a rookie, right? And I'm like, you know, really raw, very green, you know. So I'm learning the basics so I don't get hurt. And then what happened was, we went to a fight in Connecticut, Bridgeport. We had a show, and the main event guy, for some reason, he couldn't show up to the show. So I was the odd man. I was like, everyone had their own match, and there's only me left. So I just came to support, you know. And you always say, always bring your gear in the wrestling world. Always bring your gear.
Mm.
And they say, and he asked me, "You got your gear?" I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "All right, you're in. You're in the main event, wrestling for the world title." And I'm like, "What?" So I was nervous as hell. I was like, "What the world?" So I was in Connecticut. It was September. And so I remember, like, 3 years ago, I fought the world champion.
Remember.
Yeah,
I fought. September.
Yeah, man. And then what happened was it was mostly a Mexican crowd because it was they had a festival.
Right.
And they hired us to give a show, you know, so it was mostly Mexican crowd, and and you know, I almost won the match, you know, it was outside interference. They tried to, you know, they almost knocked me out, you know, with the cheating they did, and a riot almost occurred. And I remember I got thrown out the ring, and I fell by the, you know, the railing, you know, I fell right there. And I remember it was a good 3-4 kids came to me. You know, maybe they were 8 years old, 7 years old. And they're like, "Taino, Taino, Indio, Indio," they kept saying.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're here to help you. We're here to help you. And and they literally, like, grab my shoulders, and they're like, come on, we can pick you up. You need to fight. You need to stop these. You need to beat the bad guys up. You can do it. And they kept saying, Indio, Indio. You know?
So were they Boricua kids?
No, they were all Mexican. They were Mexican kids. They're Indiana,
okay.
You know? They, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they you know, they try to pick me up, and I'm you know, I'm like, yeah, yeah, man. I don't think I could go in there. I'm too hurt. My arm hurts. I'm telling them, right? And they're like, all right, stay there, stay there. No te muevas, stay there. Don't get more hurt because they're going to kill you. Don't. So I feel so moved by that moment, you know, so I stood on the ground, and something happened when I had to stand up and fight, and then the kids got scared for me. And then it was a very moving experience when people really believe in your character, because it's like goodness. See, in that show, I was seen as, you know, finding the ultimate, like, villain, you know, the heel, and the Indian represented hope, you know, like resistance, fighting, you know, fighting for the cause, you know, and
the original resistance, right?
Right. So
and
I started
also that the character is a Bejique, ultimately, right? Like, so you know, he's a noble and holy man, right? So
exactly.
How can you not root for him?
Yeah. So part of my power as a wrestler is when I get hurt, I'm always getting hurt because, you know, I'm not the biggest guy, but I get hurt. But then I'm. You know, I reach up to the sky, and I start getting the powers, you know. The powers come into me. And then now the pain, no longer I feel pain, you know. And the fans love it, man. They like it.
Yeah.
They start screaming.
Like, who come and give you their strength, right?
Yeah. And here in New York, I had a lot of kids come to me and say, oh, what are you? What are you? I'm saying, oh, I'm Taino Sagrado. I'm from the mountains of Puerto Rico. And they're like, oh, wow. And you think I'm Taino? You know, I want to be Taino. And I tell them where they're from. I say, where you from? Oh, I'm from this. I'm from, you know, East Harlem. And I'm like, no, but where your family's from? And say, Puerto Rico. This way. Oh, man, you're Taino, man. That's great. Yo.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh.
You're probably Taino.
Yeah. And then I would take pictures with them. And then, and this happened many times. Their parents, you know, was like, oh, you know, my grandmother, she was Indian, you know, and this and that. Oh, my great-grandmother was Indian. It's always the great-grandmother,
right.
You know, was Indian.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And,
some, I mean, that's what
la abuela, right? And then I tell them, well, that means you're Indian.
Yeah, abuela.
Yeah, and then I'll tell them, that means you're Indian then, huh? And he's like, and they'll look at you like, what?
Yeah, they're so, like, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
No,
but,
that's so cool.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I had a crazy experience in Puerto Rico, though. If you want to hear that, the final story of Taino Sagrado.
Cuéntame.
The
final saga.
I know, right? I always dreamt of wrestling in Puerto Rico because Puerto Rico is known historically for its wrestling and hardcore style. Like, that's where hardcore wrestling began, where they use objects, they, you know, they hit real hard.
Oh,
you know,
really?
So. Yeah, anyone who's a wrestling fan will know if you're a
like,
stiff,
like WWF and all that kind of stuff all started in Puerto Rico.
Well, it's hardcore is like you can get hurt, you know, they'll hit you with chairs,
right.
So they'll hit you with, you know, boots, you know, it's really hard. It's hard. You feel it. You can get injured, you know, if you don't know what you're doing. But it's all part of the culture, this, you know, to make it as tough as possible. Where you can still go to work the next day, you know, but, you know, so
hopefully.
Yeah. So I was a nervous wreck. I did get to train with Los Mejores Wrestling, led by Rolly or AKA El Mecánico. And you know, he's very great wrestler, Puerto Rican wrestler. He's wrestled a lot of the legends. And I never forgot this. He invited me to training, right, in Puerto Rico. I spent 4 months there, and his ring is right behind his house, the ring. And then,
that's convenient.
Yep. And then, so I got my first training in Puerto Rico with coquis in the background. While I'm getting body slammed, I'm hearing these coquis. And then, then sometimes it'll rain because it's always raining, right? And it's like, oh man, and we gotta get up. But this is the crazy part. Ready for this? The first time I wrestled on my own, well, it was in a tag team match, and they put me as a heel. That means it's a bad guy, you know. And what happened? Because they needed someone to be a heel,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I was, you know, the new guy in the block, pay my dues, right?
Right.
But the kids were actually scared of me. The kids, that was their reaction. These Puerto Rican kids, they were actually scared of me, of my makeup,
oh,
the headdress. Yeah, they saw me like
a. You were still Taino, like super Taino, but you were the bad guy.
Exactly. You know, I was Taino Sagrado, but Sagrado was like kind of taking off, and I was like the Indio. You know, they. Because I noticed people in Puerto Rico don't use Taino too much. They use Indio.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
You know, the common folk, you know. So they
sure,
would say
sure.
Indio, but they were really scared. The kids were scared of me. They really thought I was going to do some magic, something
I'm
magic.
I'm going to curse y'all.
Exactly. So I found that shocking. Like, wait a minute. In New York, they love me. And here, they're scared of me.
I think there's still a really strong belief in like brujerías and like stuff like that in the old countries, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That the where I wrestled
yeah.
was in the mountain of Nanajito.
Right.
It's a mountain town, mountain country. So
sure.
Yeah,
these are
descendants of the
Hebrews.
That
might have contributed to that, right? They might have thought like, oh man, like. This is either like a brujería or curandero, something like that. You know what I mean? Like.
Mhm. And the crazy thing about it was they thought I was Aztec, like Aztec or Mexican.
Really?
They would say that. Yeah, they would say that.
That's
it was like they were so disconnected from
yeah,
the Taino.
Because you don't look nothing. I mean, I guess maybe because I'm more educated about that,
uh-huh.
but like I look at your, you know, what you wear in your uniform and your regalia,
uh-huh.
I'm like, that don't look nothing like Aztec to me. Like, I've seen
exactly.
plenty of Aztec characters and people in
yeah.
Aztec regalia. I was like, no, that's
yeah.
that's nothing. That's not even close.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I kind of, you know, and there's always stories like if you're a villain, sometimes the fans, if they really hate you, they'll jump you in the parking lot, whatever.
Oh,
so I was,
shit.
Yeah, that's how tough it is in Puerto Rico. And then what happened was I was kind of scared of that. Like, oh, shit, I might get jumped, you know. And
get that
so,
costume off.
Yeah, but some elderly men came up to me, actually. I'm like, all right, I should be good with them. And they bought me beer, and they just wanted
Aww.
To ask me where I'm from. They thought I was Mexican, too, actually. So then we started talking.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. Then we started talking about the Taino. Oh, no, you soy Taino, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they said,
yeah.
oh, yeah, los Taino vivían por aquí mucho tiempo. Antes los españoles, you know, they'll get into that whole thing. You know, always in the past tense, you know. So,
right.
So I would tell them, well, yo soy Taino, you know. And then like, just, you know, buy me some more beer, you know, I would talk more, you know, so.
Good,
but,
good.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. But before I left, I had one match right before coronavirus came out. I had one match with Mecánico. I was the ultimate good guy, you know? And
yes.
I found that the kids were still scared of me. So when I left Puerto Rico, I kind of had like that kind of sour taste, you know? Like man, I never got over like in New York. I never got over. In other words, I never got that support. As Taino Sagrado, it was weird, you know. I mean, it takes time to develop a character, but here in New York, it was
sure.
instant. It was instant, like yeah, Taino, you know.
Right.
But over there,
right.
they were kind of like I was like the odd,
more,
you know, the
yeah,
like boogeyman,
I guess they were a little
the boogeyman,
more,
huh?
Right. Yeah, they were a little more wary, I guess
mm-hmm.
would be the word.
Exactly, especially the children, and it was so disconnected. I found.
Mm.
Of the character Taino, you know, and they would
sure.
change my name too. They'll say Indio, you know, they'll say Indio or
Indio Sagrado or something
or
like
those,
that.
Or just say Indio. They couldn't wrap
oh,
the
okay.
word around Taino Sagrado.
El Indio.
A lot of people do that. They'll say Indio or Chief. So, I hit chief a lot because of the headdress.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, I kind of like, oh man, I kind of feel sad leaving because it's like that. Oh, I never got to develop the character of Plano Sagal,
right.
But I know.
And like change the image of how hopefully they see that type of character, right?
Right, exactly.
That's what you were hoping to do, I would think, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, have them see you kind of the way they do in New York and everything.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. And then when COVID hit, you know, it kind of hurt a lot of stuff.
Sure.
So, but I love Taino Sagrado. My experience here in New York.
Yeah. I've seen your videos. He's awesome.
Oh, where? Oh man, did I send you the last one?
To me.
did I send you the last one when I was in Comic Con in Brooklyn?
Yeah, the most recent.
Yeah. Cool.
The first, like, I guess since COVID, right?
Yeah, I got that one out under my belt. So I don't know. I'm still contemplating if I should remain wrestling because of my age, but I feel like, you know, once you train and once you
because you're a viejo.
Huh? Was that?
Because you're a viejo.
I'm a viejo, man.
Because you're a viejo, yeah.
It's the bones, man. But you know,
if
you work safely, you know, I always say this. I always found, and you know, wrestlers are one of the nicest people I ever met in my life. Because when you're in that ring, you know, it's like you have to protect each other. You know?
Sure.
And I have to trust that person. I don't even know this person. I have to trust them that I'm not going to break
my
neck.
Right.
I'm not. You know, and we have a tradition. When we go in the ring, we wipe our feet, and that's our boots. When we get in the ring, it's out of respect of people who have died in that ring. You know, either through accident.
Oh,
because you can go in and you can't go out. And I know a lot of people.
Yeah, oh, damn, yeah.
I had some natives, too, tell me, oh, man, why you wear your regalia in the ring? That's so disrespectful. And I also wear my, you know, headdress. And I was like, you know why? Because when I step in that ring, that might be the last time that I live. So I want to be in my regalia. I want to be protected. I want to, you know, it's like,
yeah.
I'm trying,
and you're,
you know,
sort,
man,
of in like a sacred space at that point, right? Like, I mean, one could almost compare that ring to like a circle, like a, you know, like a powwow circle or something, like where when you go in, you're not the same person as you were on the outside, kind of, right?
Exactly. So
yeah,
it's
like it's, this liminal space sort of that is designated for a specific person, you know what I mean? Like, so I, you know, there's comparisons you could make there, definitely, I would think.
Yeah, it's a bate. It's like the bate, you know, you're in there.
Square, same thing. That's a designated space for something that is in its own separate sphere from the physical world that we live in, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you, it's like, you know, it's echoes back from the warrior societies, you know, they were the... Well, the shamans,
sure,
they wear their masks, you know, they'll fight the evil, you know, and or the negative energies, as they say. So it's mimicking that. It's mimicking.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, and that's that's not uncommon. In anthropology, we call those like liminal spaces, as we call them, because it's an actual term that exists, not just in indigenous cultures, in many cultures that. It's a designated space within the physical world, but there is sort of like a sacredness around it that when those who transgress into that space, be it a circle, be it a stage, be it a sports court or something like that, you are literally moving into this kind of different world, sort of, that is not part of the physical world that you are normally part of. It's this someplace in between kind of the spirit world and the physical world. So, that is common. I mean, like for the Japanese, they consider the sumo ring that same kind of thing. Sumo and it was the sumo ring was a sacred space, and that's for why for a while women weren't even, and they're still not, women aren't even allowed to enter the sumo ring ever, because they're considered too spiritually volatile. So if you ever go to a sumo match in Japan nowadays, which I have been to, you know, you'll never see any female like cleaners or anything cleaning the ring. It's considered a sacred space of that way. And nobody can enter that space unless they're a designated, you know, fighter or a trainer or something of that nature. And it's, you know, some people will look at that and say, oh, well, it's misogynistic, women can't enter it. And that's, it's fair to a degree, but it does go back to that idea that, like, you know, women kind of are more powerful because we are more spiritually connected in some ways. And I guess they felt that women entering that space might cause like a shift in the spiritual energy there. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
So they're very strict about that. They're so strict about it.
It's in Japan, right? Japan.
Yeah.
Well, I can see some native cultures having that same. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. A lot of these, we talk about like in native cultures, I've heard like, you know, women, especially like menstruating women, aren't meant to touch certain objects or, you know, be in certain spaces at certain times because, again, we're considered more, I guess, spiritually susceptible. And we could shift the energy of wherever we're going. So I'm not sure if it's so much like a lot of people view it as like, oh, this is old world, like misogyny, patriarchy. But I think what it is that we were regarded as being more spiritually connected because of our ability, you know, to make life, to have children. Because of our connection through menstruation with like the moon cycles and everything, that we are more powerful sort of in a sense. And sometimes that power can be too much or get out of control. And that's why they don't want us to be in a certain setting at certain times, right?
Right. Wow. That's interesting. That sounds pretty traditional right there, right? But
Right. And I'm not saying it's not entirely like, there's probably some, you know, patriarchy influence there and everything. But I think it's been pretty like considered across many cultures that women are considered more spiritually connected because of our ability to have children and to, you know, to menstruate and everything. And that is more makes us more connected to the earth, like through our fertility, things of that nature. And that's what kind of drives that belief, I think.
Interesting. Wow. That is so interesting. We got to talk more about that in the future, man. Those connections.
Yeah. We'll have a whole feminist episode, but, I want to know more about something like,
I've been in sweat lodge ceremonies where arguments broke out between women and the leaders because they felt discriminated against the women because they were on their period, you know, so it's difficult, menstrual.
And that's true. I mean, like, yeah, same with even in my own circle within Tainos, Arihitos and ceremonies, you know, they'll ask anyone who's on their moon blood, as we call it, to not participate in certain aspects because it's considered a very powerful thing that can sway the outcome of the ceremony, right?
Right, exactly. That's tough.
Some people might look at it as discrimination, but at the same time, I think you can also view it as a high sort of reverence, right, for thinking that a woman on her period could have so much power. Within a space that it could potentially like shift the balance of things and cause an unwanted result because there is this such immense power that maybe is beyond the control of herself and the others around her, right?
Right, exactly. Damn, that's deep stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what were you going to say? You were going to say something, huh?
Oh, I was going to say, so I love the thing, like, we're talking about, like, modern representation, but, you know, with the wrestling and fighting tradition, like, that's very big in many Latin American cultures, right?
Oh, right, yes.
Like, yeah, like, we see it in, like you said, like, Puerto Rico has the origins for, like, the modern-day wrestling. In Cuba, we're really big into boxing.
That's
our big thing. Yeah, like, boxing and bare knuckle boxing, and obviously, like, the whole luchador tradition is really big in Mexico and other places in Central and Southern America. And mm-hmm. I'm wondering if there is almost like a indigenous connection through that, and because a lot of it is, I mean, you know better than I do, but from what I've heard, mm-hmm. it's half like play acting, right? Like, mm-hmm. half of it is sort of, it's stage, you know, it's meant to be a sort of, we call it like folk drama. Like, you know, you're meant to kind of play this part and make it very dramatic. And you kind of have sort of a script you follow. But
right.
at the same time, in certain types, at least as you've outlined, you are actually fighting, right? Like, there's some fights and stuff where you don't know who's going to win, or there's going to mm-hmm. be some, you know, some struggle, some injury, etc. So I'm just curious more about like that balance between those two and how you maintain it. And also, how do you think it relates back to more indigenous traditions, you know, of taking on a new persona, or like allowing yourself to be almost like possessed by a different persona, be it a spirit, be it a, you know, a semi, something like that, and to enter this liminal space in that persona and do what you have to do, kind of like what you would do on the Batu court, or like in Mesoamerica on the ball courts and everything. Like, maybe mm-hmm. you can tell us a little more about that, since you're more you're in this world, right?
Right. Well, I can tell you one thing. The first thing that I learned was, you know, when I went to training for the first time, I've been in some difficult situations in my life. But what happens is, when you're in that ring, all your coping skills, is out the window. You're like raw, like I have no clue what's going to happen to me, and it's going to hurt, you know. And so what's going to happen is, people who are in the wrestling world who do this, especially full-time, you know, you can be full-time, part-time, whatever. You have to be dedicated to it. And one thing that I learned really quickly is, if your head is not in it, if your heart is not in it, get out. You got no... place in the ring, you know, and they tell us, you know, there's people have died in this ring. So,
right.
So what I did was I equated that to the warrior societies. You know, you gotta, you know, you're in there to train and to eventually perfect the character, you know, that,
sure.
like I always say, our true selves, you know what I mean? Our
yeah.
true personas, it's in that ring. But we have to, like, you know, we have to bring it out, and we have to do it correctly. If not, we can get hurt.
Right.
But I noticed in the wrestling thing, it's like, you know, a lot of people say, oh, wrestling is fake, is this and that. But our mind works differently. Our mind believes what's going on. And you have to believe it. You know, it's like that whole sense of disbelief. You have to really, like an actor, right? Like,
right,
what makes a great
yeah.
actor?
That's what I'm saying. Like, some of this is like, play acting, right? Like, you sort of know, right, sometimes who's going to win or how this is going to end, but you have to go in acting like you don't, right?
Well, just for it like this, see, I'm kind of old school. I don't want to, you know, reveal too much, but basically, for you to get in that ring, right, the promoter has to know that you know what you're doing, you know. And the reason why, if I don't know what I'm doing in there, my opponent can die. my opponent, or can get seriously injured.
Or you, yeah.
Or me, right. So so that's the thing when you go into, like, you go into a war, right? A warrior society, you go into,
mm-hmm.
you know, you trust the brothers and sisters you're going into battle with because they got your back, you know? And it's the same thing in the wrestling world. So, yeah, so it's like, you know, you train not to get hurt, but you also train to give the best show, to really perform. We're performers,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're performers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I tell you one thing. I remember when I first started learning how to fall on my back, it's called a bump. I couldn't
without
get it.
Getting
I couldn't,
hurt.
Yeah, I couldn't get it because I had two herniated discs in my neck many years ago.
Ooh.
So I was afraid. Yeah, so I was afraid to re-injure it, and
yeah.
and it was in my head. I just didn't tell anyone. I tried to be a brave, you know. I'm brave, you know. Hey, warrior, you know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But my body said something else. So I remember one of the veterans came up to me, who's actually Boricua too. He came up to me. He goes, listen, I think I can help you. There's something you're doing wrong. I can't help you. So then. And then out of nowhere, he says, just look at me. And then he takes a bump. And when we were training, that ring was pretty hard, you know. And what happened was...
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, so he took a bump. And automatically, I felt that brotherhood's, you know, like, oh, my God, he took a bump for me so I can learn, you know. Because he knows if
right.
I don't learn this, I'm not going to get in the ring or I can get seriously hurt, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
so then... Then he says, okay, hold on. Let me do it again. And he does it again. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh.
And then, yeah, so then I say, all right. And then he had me doing it. He says, all right, a little better. And then he bumps again. I'm like, oh, my God. And then
Who
I do it.
This guy?
Yeah, and then I do it. And he goes to me, looks to my eyes. And there's some other guys not looking, right? And he goes, I know what your problem is. And it's really easy to correct, but I don't know what's wrong with you. And I'm like, why? What's wrong? What happened? You're afraid. You're scared. Right in my eye, he told me. No one ever told me that in my life. You know?
Damn.
He's like, and all the guys are looking real serious. No one's mocking me right there. He says, you know what? You're scared, man. That's why you can't do it correctly. And then another guy comes over. He says, all right. Man, this reminds me when I first started. Boom, he takes a bump. You know, he takes
Jesus.
A bump. Yeah. So then at the end of the session, the guy who sponsored me, Frankie Flo, and the head trainer, he says, Lou, we want you to leave here. Before you leave here, why don't you do it correctly? And I think this is my second month into it. And then this is Gino. He's the head trainer. He says, just listen to what I'm about to tell you. Just pay attention, right? He says, all right, do this. So he had me do some rolls, you know? So, because you have to know how to roll. All of a sudden, I hear Gino. I hear Gino yelling these commands. Do this. I'm trying to impress him, right? Everyone's looking.
Of course.
And then out of nowhere, he yells, bump, right? And boom, I did it perfect. You know, I did it perfect.
Nice.
Yeah. So, see... And everyone, I was watching, were like, son of a bitch, he did it, yeah. Everyone's cheering and everyone's like, you know, really loving it, you know. So, what do you call it? I'm like, wow, man, I felt like this was a true, like, this is my tribe, you know. Like, we're one, man. We're on the same page,
sure.
You know what I mean? And granted,
yeah.
There's always the gossip. There's always this. There's always that. There's always the you know, competition. You get really heated sometimes. Like, oh, you fucked up on purpose. I can't believe you did. You know, there's that too. But when
mm-hmm.
we're in that ring, like I say, when we're in that bate,
we
look out for each other because we want to, you know, if I do it correctly, then I'm not going to hurt. I'm not going to hurt anyone. And they do it correctly, they're not going to hurt me. So, you know, a couple of times
yeah, you
I was
got
told,
it. You got it. It's a
yeah.
lot of trust, right? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of trust. So, I felt like that's my tribe. Like whenever we go into a show, when you go into the locker room, you got to greet everyone, even if you don't know them, and it could be a legendary wrestler too, like a Tito Santana or someone. You know, you shake their hand, You know, they don't know you. You know, they shake you, shake your hand. And it's like that good word. It's like a tribe, really. You know, wherever you go, and I think that's the residue, that tradition of the warrior society, or that, you know what I mean? It's like there's something there that's traditional, like these
right,
unwritten
absolutely.
Rules. Unwritten
yeah.
rules. Yeah. And I met guys and like, oh my God, he shook my hand, you know. You know, these legends. You know? But that's
yeah.
the protocol, you know, that's the protocol. We're all in it. We're all equals. You know, and,
right.
and once you're in that once you're in that ring, you know. So one of my favorite the things I love to do is I love to take a bump, you know, that's one of my favorites. And but if you do it, if you don't do it correctly, you can break your back, injure your neck, you know. So,
so
I know a lot of guys who are way younger than me. They're doing great work, traveling to different states and, you know, doing it. You know, a lot of women too are doing
yeah.
it too. The women wrestling is taking off. Now they're doing intergender wrestling now, men and women wrestling each other, and. You know, a lot of that's going on. So it's kind of cool, man.
Right.
You know, wrestling is still around.
Yeah.
And
it's just mm-hmm. cool, too, because, like, you know, there's these, like, personas associated with it, right? So
yeah.
that's,
yeah.
like, can goes, you know, can go, that goes, like, with other, that, you know, representations, like we mentioned, like, El Coqui.
Yeah.
Who is,
right.
you know, it's like this superhero kind of persona, right? You wear
right.
a uniform, or you wear something else, and you become something else, and you are something else, right? And El Coqui
yeah.
is like, he's, you know, the OG, one of the original, like, Taino superheroes, at least in a more literary sense, right? I mean, he's a Boricua who becomes, like, Puerto Rico's, like, resident kind of superhero.
Oh, that's
with,
right.
Yeah, combining like Taino influences, obviously, with, but also with the other mixed heritages of the islands. Obviously, that we know the name El Coqui, and there's a lot of Taino imagery included with him and his powers. And he's sort of like depicted almost kind of like a luchador in that same way. He's got like the uniform. I don't think it was a mask. It's like these goggles he wears, but it's still that same. Yeah. But it's that same idea, right? Like taking
right.
on this different persona as a representation of the culture.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I love that. I was reading some of the comic, and that's it. Yeah, is that
yeah,
persona.
It's fun, right?
Yeah, and you know, and I see it in the powwows too. I know you've been dancing in powwows where once you put that makeup
oh, yeah.
on, or the face paint,
you're,
and you put your regalia, you know, you're in the zone. You know, once you get into the arena, you know, that's it, man. You're not your 9-to-5. Now you're in your element.
You're someone else, and you're a combination of yourself and like the ancestors and everything. It's a transformation, right?
Exactly, man. I definitely, that's it. It's just the same thing like in wrestling, you know, where you go in there and you got to take it seriously. This is serious stuff. And the same thing I see
yeah.
in the powwow. In the powwows, this is serious. You go
right.
in there.
Yeah, you enter that circle. It's completely
right?
different. So
yeah.
I mm-hmm. think that's important for people to understand, like, in modern representations of Taino, like Taino Sagrado, mm-hmm. like El Coqui, even like what Irka Mateo does to a degree. It's sort of you're taking on when you step into that liminal space, whether it's for you, it's the ring, for her, it's the stage,
yeah.
or for El Coqui, it's in those comics. You are transforming, right? And you are taking on and allowing yourself to be sort of possessed in some way, not in a negative concept of like the modern like Judeo-Christian concept of possession, but allowing the ancestors to kind of reemerge and be reborn through you, right? And allow the spirit same thing, to be reborn and reemerge through you. Allow them to use your body and your soul and everything for that moment, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's the same dynamic. Is it? Yeah, it's the same. Exactly. And what was that other point? It was the power. You go into the circle, the bate, put your headdress on. You know, it's like it's metaphysical too. It's like there's a spiritual force be all behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
When a wrestler puts on his boots, put on your trunks. You know, put on the. For me, I wear the headdress. It's all connected. You know, warrior society, they wore certain regalia when they went to war.
Yeah.
You know.
And even in like a European tradition, you know, like the berserker warriors from Scandinavia, they put on their like their bear skins or whatever, and they would literally feel themselves like possessed by the spirit of the bear or other animals, and go into battle that way, you know. So it's something it's like, you know, people will say like, well, is it not the same as acting? And I don't think it is, because I think, you know, acting is usually done more for, like the process is not entirely different, but acting is usually done more for like a profit benefit, right? It's a job, it's a profession, this is what you do. You can enjoy it at the same time, and there can be like a spiritual aspect to it for you, as I think there is for most actors. That's why they get into the business. But I think for us, that's always there, right? Like, we're not doing this to make money. We're not doing this as part of a job, right? This is an actual metaphysical, spiritual transformation.
Exactly. It's it. And you see that, you know, when you're people who dance at powwows and you put that regalia, you know, so initially you get scared, like, oh man, what are people going to say to me? You know, what if my happens to my regalia? See my headdress, this and that, you know, but it's the same. It's those butterflies rumbling in your stomach, because it means it's something important, right? It's something important.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, it's nothing like it. I wish people could, what do you call it? Oh, man, we're running out of time. So.
Yeah, we
are. Right? So, yeah. So, hey, this is a great show, man. Thank you. Time flew. But I appreciate you giving Taino Sagrado.
We came in this liminal space right here on this show, you know.
Definitely, man. Just give that opportunity to those representations. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us
absolutely
alive, right? That we are not extinct. That we are still here. Representing, it's kind of a miracle though, right? Because, you know, even the nations for so many years thought we were dead, right
and have tried to make us that way, right?
Yeah, man. So that's wonderful. So what I'm going to do is this will wrap up the show. I'm having some difficulties getting into my studio, but that's not nothing
new.
Man.
Yeah, the spirit's acting up again.
Listen, I want to invite you to next, check this out. We're going to do like a what do you call that? You know how in the comic books, hold on a second.
Comic-Con?
I can't get in. You know in comic books when different characters join, they crossover. You know the crossover?
Yeah.
Have you heard of that? The crossover comics? Hold on a second. Let me see if... Hold on a second. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens is, when a superhero goes into another comic book, and then they share the storyline, whatever, you know, and that's usually that comic book usually sells for higher money. So next week we're going to do a crossover show. The Indigenous Power Hour by Indy41 is going to interview me, because I'm going to sing a rap song on Indigenous Day Remembrance. It's a traditional way, because as we know, you know that video, La Taina? You know La Taina?
Oh, yeah.
That reggaeton song? Well,
yep.
you know, so traditionally, you know, there is a tradition in rap and reggaeton where if you disagree with someone and another artist, the same way you battle it out. So I wrote a song. So I'm going to break it down next week, the song, the rap. And it's, I try to make it as historical as possible. So I like to recruit you. Maybe you can explain my verses to the people. So it'll be 4-1. If you want to come in, it's Wednesday. It's a Wednesday
next
show.
Wednesday.
Yeah. And, we, you know, we can do it earlier. You know, we can do it earlier, too, at 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
If that works for you. If that works for you.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then, so I'll put you on the flyer then, and I'll invite you next week. Before, I'll try to get some other people, other Tainos on the show, to break down the history of this. So, hey, it's like, yeah, like when a scholar writes a book, another scholar will retaliate by writing his book, right, or her book, right? It's just the same. It's the same thing. So a lot of ignorance
right.
out there. A lot of ignorance. So we got to keep teaching, right? We got to keep.
Sure. Absolutely.
Correcting. So, all right. So I'll see you next Wednesday. How about that? Is Wednesday good for you? We'll do the show on Wednesday.
Yeah, that works.
That works? Okay, excellent. If not Wednesday, maybe we can bump it. No, Wednesday. Let's do it Wednesday, okay?
All right.
So Indigenous Caribbean Study Hour will hook up with Indigenous Power Hour. That's great. So,
awesome.
All right, then. So thank you for being here again, once again. And, man, heal up, all right? Make sure
you
heal.
Yeah, absolutely. You too. Thank you. Taino Sagrado. Use your Vejique powers to heal me.
Oh, hey, you know, we did a prayer for you last week. You know, we did some prayers.
Oh, I know. Thank
you.
Yeah,
man.
You guys are so nice.
Oh, man, no problem,
I'm getting
man.
Better.
No
I'm
problem.
Getting better.
Yeah, okay, that's
you know,
good, man.
Our ancestors survived the plagues and smallpox. I can handle this.
That's right. So you know what? Let me finish one more. I'm looking for a song to end the show. It's actually Ika's song. I'm trying to look for it. It's called Taino. Hold on a second. It's called Taino. I lost it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's called Tainos by Ika Mateo. So we'll end the show with this song. I'll see you next Wednesday.
Yeah,
heal
looking
up.
Forward to it.
Yeah, I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in once again. And we got Cuba. We got Cuba on
Cuba on the board.
Yeah, you know, we can point out, Cuba, where you at? Well, they're here.
Viva Cuba Libre.
Yeah, Cuba Libre has joined Taino Radio. All right. Now we just need Haiti. One more island. We need Haiti.
Yeah.
One more province, right? Or Yucayeque.
Right.
Of Haiti. All right. Ika Mateo, take it away. It's called Tainos.
Escucho las iguas cantar debajo el agua caraboy, movido de juco me dan, quisqueya taina guayá, arepe maí el cacheo, cazabe del pino jajá, las indias quisqueyas saben, cazabe se quemen buren, remando cayuco yo voy, le tiro la lanza al burel, debajo del agua yo tan, oigo toca el mayo huaca, guayaba vija caimori, se va a Yo callo, tía, ma, pues. nosotros estamos aquí. A mí me mandan decirte que nosotros estamos aquí. En el vuelo el colibrí, en el surco de la boa, bailando los areitos, cantando la voz de mí. Bailando los areitos, cantando la voz de mí.
Yeah,